I'm Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
And I'm Mickey Hazard with Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Yeah, fantastic. Right, great to have a couple of Spurs legends on the show. And let's get straight into it. All right, lads. So we got Colin as well, by the way, in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Colin?
Yes, I'm doing great. Hi, Mickey. I missed you the last time on the show. A few technical issues, so it's great to chat to you at last. And it's great to have Graham back on again. So brilliant to chat to you guys. Hi, Graham.
Well, look, it's Tuesday, the 2nd of April 2013, and we've just played Swansea away. What are your thoughts? We'll start with Mickey. What are your thoughts, Mickey?
Well, I thought it was a great result, much needed given the fact that we'd lost our previous two Premier League games against Liverpool and Fulham, particularly following the Fulham game, which wasn't a very good performance, and then Inter Milan in between those two. So the international break came at a great time. We then went away. I thought the first half, I thought we were absolutely superb and could have come in leading more. I felt second half we sat back a little and invited them forward, and I always feel as a team we're better when we're going forward and playing at pressing higher up the pitch and creating chances, and when we sit back we tend to concede goals and put a little bit of pressure on ourselves. But whatever, absolutely fantastic performance, fantastic result.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that second half. Graham, why do we do it time and time again? We go two or three up and then we just sit back and panic for the next 45 minutes.
Well, I think we dominated the first half, like Mickey said, so much that, you know, we could have gone in three or four up. And, you know, I've got to admit, I think the two goals were spectacular. You know, for Tongan's, for me, he's been one of the best players all season. And it just shows you when you need somebody to come out of the back and sort of everything opens up for you, then, you know, you can go all the way. And, you know, but we've done it for a little while now. We've gone one or two up and we just seem to think, well, that's the game over. And then when the team gets it was a good goal, good header, but nobody marking him, Michu, just went back on the back foot and starts a little bit of panic in the team. And that's where we need a leader, see? I know we've got Michael Dawson, but we need, instead of just one leader, we need about four or five to say, come on, calm down, get back to what we're good at and start passing the ball again and keeping the ball. And we just seem to don't have that at the moment.
Do you think, Mickey, Scott Parker could do that? Is he being a bit quiet at the moment, do you think?
I think that if I was Scott's manager, I would be saying to him, look, Scott, you're a good player in the latter years of your career. Move the ball quicker. You know, I think sometimes he gets overindulgent and far too many touches, and it just slows the tempo of our play down a little bit too much. The type of player that he is, he's a good tackler, he wins the ball, he's a good distributor, but he's got to do it quicker, so it doesn't slow the tempo of our play, because when we're playing at tempo and with great pace, we look so much more threatening, so much more fearful for the opposition. But when Scotty gets it, sometimes at this moment, I feel he's just slowing the play down a little bit too much and taking the tempo out of our game.
Yeah, and do you think, Graham, that again in midfield, Dembele, I mean, he's got such great skill in the way he glides away from players and what have you. Do you think he can be doing a little bit more, maybe to get control of that second half and go, give me the ball, like Gazza used to do. You know, give me the ball, I'll do something with it.
Well, I went to Milan the other week when we got beat 4-1, but we're still in the Europa Cup, and I was shouting all the game for when he got near, you know, further up the pitch to shoot, and somebody behind me said something, and it was his father, and I said, well, you need to tell him, just he's got to shoot more.
He's got a great shot on him.
Oh, if you have the goal against Lyon, you know, and he comes up with one every so often, but he can do it more often.
Yeah.
You know,
definitely.
The goal against Milan, he made it. He shot and sort of the goal he palmed out and Adebayor sort of tapped it in. But, you know, he just seems to think he's a playmate. I remember before we bought him, he played against Manchester United and scored the, I think one of the goals for Fulham that day, which sort of, we went the next week, we went and bought him just before the transfer deadline, and he can do it more often, you know, so, but I think he's got that ability that he can put his foot on the ball and sort of dictate the game for us, but
You're spot on, Rob. But I think one of the problems that we have with it is that as the team drops deeper, I think it drops Dembele deeper. And the deeper you play as a centre midfield player, the less risks you can take in terms of when you're trying to beat players and create goal scoring opportunities. Obviously, the higher up the pitch you are when you receive the ball, the closer to their goal that you are, the more risk you're prepared to take individually. I think as the team drops deep, it pulls the midfield deeper, and then it becomes a sort of quick passing game because you don't want to get caught in possession near your own goal. So I think it gets caught in between the two stalls as the team drop off.
That's a midfield player talking there. You know that, don't you?
That's a clever, thoughtful one.
Colin, the debate continues. Defoe or Adebayor?
Oh, look, again, you know, we'll chat about Adebayor. I just find it very, very frustrating. You know, the chance that he had, the one-on-one, you know, to me it was a simple side foot pass into the goal. You know, I know it's easy for me to say it sitting here at home watching it on TV, but the guy just seems to be lacking confidence. And I really thought, you know, with 10 games to go, that this was maybe going to be Adebayor. He's going to come into the, you know, come back into the team, and he'll be the guy that might just push us on. But unfortunately, he still just hasn't. He just hasn't done anything for us. And
yeah, but you say that, and then Defoe comes on the second half, and he has, you know, an equally brilliant chance, and he hits it at the goalkeeper as well. Admittedly, it wasn't as tame a shot.
But Colin, and you know, I think what you're looking at is that it's a player. Last year, he was playing with a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
This year, he seems that if you go back, what, 2 months when we played QPR, mm-hmm. he missed a sitter.
Yeah.
Then he's missed another sitter a little while ago, and then on he's had, they all seem to be the same chances he's getting, and he just doesn't make up his mind what he wants to do. And that's a player with no confidence at the moment, or a lack of confidence, and sort of thinking, well, if you have a look at the way he plays, like I saw him play the last game, not against Swansea, but the one before Fulham, mm-hmm. and he sort of was drifting out of the box instead of being in the box. And you know, that's what we're lacking. I think Defoe has to play. For me, he has to play every game.
Yeah, because I think so.
If he has 20 chances, he's going to hit the target with 15 of them. Yeah. And that's a difference.
I think bottom line is, guys, is that I think we all know, and we all thought that in the January window, we would be signing a top-class centre-forward. You know, I don't think Adebayor is the answer. I think he's short on confidence at the minute. But if we're going to become the top team that we should be with the players that we've got, then that top centre forward is an absolute necessity for us. That forward who scores that chance when it's a tight game, who puts you 1-0 up when you're struggling to break through tight defences. We haven't got that type of player yet. Once we do, I really feel we can push on and challenge for every competition we enter. But I think it's going to cost us a lot of money to find that player. And certainly winning the Europa League and qualifying for Champions League can go a long way to helping us maybe get the player we need to turn us from where we are at, which is a very, very good side, into a team capable of maybe competing and challenging for the very top prizes of the game.
Go on, mate.
You know, we've said it on the last lot of shows that, you know, we feel, you know, we're only a couple of players short. I know when Graham was on the last show with us, we chatted about how good I actually think our defence are now, you know, with the backup that we have. You know, we've got the strongest defence that we've ever had in years.
Well, we've still got Company to come in, Colin, haven't we? You know, yeah. Not Company, Cabool.
Cabool, yeah.
You know, that's a big loss for us this season because... You know, he was last year. He was fantastic for us.
Yeah,
and he can play right back. He can play centre back. You know, he's a fantastic player. And hopefully next year he'll come back in and sort of, you know, he can make us even stronger.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, Colin, that you make in that the defence and the cover that we've got virtually in every position is top drawer. I can't remember a Spurs squad with so much quality cover to a back line of defence. It's absolutely fantastic, and we get one or two injuries and it doesn't seem to affect us. We've got good players and good cover in every position. Unfortunately, defenders tend to stop you losing games. Forwards help you win games, and yeah, they score the goals that win games, and that's the area of the pitch. And if you were to look over the recent past, the amount of goals that we're scoring are basically coming from sort of the midfield areas. We're getting very little up top, which is putting extra pressure on the midfield. And even Vertonghen's coming through and scoring goals, you know, and top class player that he is. It's not his job to score the goals. It's his job to contribute now and again, which he's doing. But there's a lot of pressure on the midfield players to provide the goals, because we're not getting them from up top, which is we all knew in January, and it's something that we need to put right for next season.
Well, just to fast forward then to the Everton game, which, you know, we got Basel, but you know, the massive game is Everton on Sunday. If you play a similar system and you've got one striker, who are you choosing to go up front? So, Colin, you're saying Defoe.
Yeah,
I say Defoe because you're, I think he's Defoe, more likely to score. I don't think he's been so badly affected. And can I just correct you on that, Steve? The massive game is the Basel game. That's the game that will take us through into a semi-final of a cup competition. And the Everton game, win, lose or draw, we can still get fourth or third. So for me, the top game is the Basel game, one that if we win well, we can be through to the semi-final. Because winning is about the glory, and if we win the Europa League, what an unbelievable achievement with all the great clubs that are in that competition. Everton will beat anyway. I think we're better than Everton.
You go with the best, your best side against Basel, or would you make a few changes, or you go best side against Basel? Would you?
I would play my best side in every single game of the season. Full stop. I'm a great believer in picking your best team, because I'm not too concerned about fatigue. The reason being is that if your players get fatigued, you know, start with your best team. Let them influence the reason they're the best team is because they're the best players and they're the ones most likely to win you a game. And if you start with that team and one of them gets tired in the last 20, 25, then you can bring him off and bring on not quite as good a player, but still a very good player who can affect it more in the last 20 minutes as the opposition tire. You know, don't put out a weakened team in one competition just because, oh, we might be tired. I mean, Steve Perriman in that 1982, I think, played 65 games out of 65 games. He never complained of fatigue, and the game's no different today as to what it was then. The physical demands were colossal, and he played all 65 games. But when you're winning games, and as a player, all you want to do is play and win, and you don't feel tired when you're winning and playing well and the team's doing well. You don't get tired. We played man for man against that season, and yet not one of us was feeling tired because we were being successful. So I don't use fatigue as an excuse for changing your team.
What do you reckon, Graham?
I think Mickey's right. It's nice for somebody else to have a chat, right, because Mickey's been on the phone for the last 20 minutes. What I think is that when you win in, okay, players want to play.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, we changed the team to go to Milan, and we kept some people back for the Fulham game, and they looked more lethargic than the players that played. So, you know, what you've got to be now is everybody will want to be in the team, because if we beat Basel, then we got a chance of going to the semi. Well, we'll be in the semi final. We've got a chance of going to the final.
Yeah.
Every player will want to play in that final. So then what happens is they've got to play every game. So, and it just breeds success. It just, you know, when you're winning, everybody wants to be in the team. So, you know, like, I understand what Mickey's saying there with Stevie Perriman, but it was the likes of all of us.
Yeah.
We all wanted. We played 11 games in 19 days, and the gaffer was saying, do you want to rest? No, we want to play. And that's how it was.
It does. It seems simple to me. You say, you know, instead of training, you know, the next day, however long you train for, you say, tell you what, lads, we'll have a light training session because we'll all play again on Thursday.
Yeah, that's it. That's the way it should be. And at the end of it, what you do is you sort of just dust yourself. Okay, yes, the game's probably quicker now, but they've got better pitches than what we had.
Of course.
We played in mud heaps and you know, if they played in the games that we, in the grounds that we played in.
And how about the tackles that were flying in back then?
Yeah, but it was the mud.
Rob Wall never tackled.
I could never get near anybody.
Rob Wall, by the way, I'm sorry if I took some of your time, mate. Promise me you won't kick me.
Not this week, anyway.
Brilliant.
But guys, right. I'll just round off the Fulham game for us, because what you're saying is so true.
Swansea.
I was so nervous before the game on Sunday, and to me it was massive that we just got back to winning ways because of what happened last season. And for us to go down to Swansea and totally play them off the pitch especially for the first half and score two absolute wonder goals, I thought it was a sign to show that we're such a good, strong team this year, and we're a different team to last year. So it was a massive 3 points, and it got all the media and all the ones that are, you know, used to laughing at, trying to laugh at Spurs. Oh, here they go again. Spurs are going to blow it. I think it made a lot of people just shut up again for a while, and it was a brilliant victory for us. Brilliant.
Carl, have you got a couple of questions from people on the Facebook page?
Yes, we've got a few questions in on Facebook, guys. This one is for you, Mickey.
Let Graham answer first.
Mickey, it's a guy called Shuban Begum, so hopefully I've got his name right. And he's put here, Glenn Hoddle was in many ways your rival for his spot. You know, how did you feel about that?
Oh, no, he was never my rival. He was my teammate. He was, you know, one of the things that people always say to me is that, you know, you played with some of the best players in the world of your time, Glenn Hoddle, Ozzy Ardiles, and you competed against them, but I wasn't competing against them. They were my teammates. But not only were they my teammates, they gave me a fantastic education, because I was able to watch and play alongside and learn from everything that they did. So it was an education to play with them. You know, I never considered them my rivals. We were trying to do the same job for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. That's who we were employed by. That's who we wanted to succeed, to be successful. It wasn't the Glenn Hoddle show or the Mickey Hazard or the Ozzy Ardiles or the Graham Roberts show. It was the Tottenham Hotspur show, and never did I ever view any of them as my rivals. You know, Brian Robson and Ray Wilkins, they were my rivals, but not Glenn Hoddle. He was a pure genius.
Yeah, excellent. A question here as well from Karen Jane Kemp. I put this to you, Graham, and she's asked, who was your favourite Tottenham teammate?
Mickey Allen.
Mickey.
Sorry. good.
We were all mates.
Who did you boys room with on your travels?
Many a players. I think sometimes I think Mickey's was Ozzy. I'm sure of that. But,
yeah, I room with Ozzy.
I started off with Stevie
room,
Archibald.
Right, Mickey?
Hey,
smoke filled room, right?
Yeah, smoke filled room. Great stories. I mean, the story one night. I'll tell you a quick story. Sorry to interrupt, Robbo, but okay. I was rooming with Robbo and Ozzy, and we were talking about winning the pools, because then it was the football pools and £1 million. And Ozzy said to me, "What would you do, Mickey, if you won £1 million?" So I said, "Well, in those days it was a lot of money." I said, "I'd make all my family rich." So then I turned to him and I said, "Ozzy, what would you do if you won £1 million? And he turned around and he said, "What, another million?"
Very good. Okay, and one final question.
Hang on, what was the question? Graham didn't answer it.
I started off with Stevie Archibald. That lasted about 3 weeks, I think. Tony Galvin I roomed with, Chris Waddle, Alan Brazil, so quite a few.
Oh,
he was kicking them all in his sleep.
Mickey, I asked Steve Archibald if he wants to be on the show. I believe he's asked you what it's all about.
Yeah, he tweeted me tonight. I presume it is Stevie. I don't know 100%.
as you don't, but certainly he seems to know a lot about me and the things that we did when he was a player at Spurs, so I'm sort of fairly confident it is him. And he tweeted me tonight asking me what the podcasts are like and what I think of them and should he go on to them. And I tweeted back and said, look, the Spurs podcasts are great. Yeah. They're great for Spurs fans. They're great for keeping in touch with the real people of football clubs. And I advocated that I should go on them because ultimately every football club is its supporters. You know, there's no Tottenham Hotspur without its supporters. Yeah. And Stevie, it's a way of giving something back to the fans that matter.
Brilliant. Yeah. Carl, any more questions there?
Yeah, just one final question from Graham Chandler. And he said, obviously, the both of you are two legends. But he'd like to ask how the players felt when Keith Birkinshaw left. It seems he didn't agree with the board, particularly Scholar. Did the team hold a grudge against the board due to his departure?
If I can come in here, Colin, yeah. I think we were all gutted because it was when Keith announced it. It was just before the UEFA Cup final, mm-hmm. So it made it more important that we won the trophy, and that a great manager was going to leave as a hero, really. And yes, I think the board sort of not the board, but Irvin Scholar wanted to do everything. He wanted to sort of do the contracts. I actually signed a new contract after Keith left, and Irvin Scholar did the deal, and it was in a hotel. And sort of he wanted to be the man who did everything, you know, and buy the players and tell who he's going to have. And it just really wasn't that. That wasn't how it was, you know. We used to have a family club there, and... I think Keith just thought he'd had enough, you know. I think he said, right, you know, I can't do this. Stevie Perriman tells a great story. We played in Austria-Vienna just before, I think it was a quarter-final.
Yeah.
We had beat them 2-0 at home, and we were training on the night, and Irvin Scholar had been and watched Austria. We beat them 2-0 and slaughtered them at home. And he'd gone and watched them train up in the morning. And he called Keith and he said, I went and watched Austria train this morning. I want you to come over in the summer and learn a few things from their coach. And we just beat them 2-0. And that's how he was. It was just ridiculous. And,
yeah.
You know, we drew 2-2 that night and knocked them out of the cup. And Keith was tactically, he was fine, Keith. And, you know, he didn't need Irvin Scholar telling him what to do. You know, it was a shame because he was a great man. He's always been a great man. We're going to his wedding in a few weeks' time, so
wow,
excellent.
That'd be nice to see him again. So
fantastic, Cole.
Okay, that's brilliant, guys. Thanks very much for answering that, and thanks to the guys on Facebook for putting the questions on. I'm just going to go into, and Graham, you'll remember, and Mickey, I know you know him as well, the Spurs poet, our good friend, yes. Davey Elder. He's done another poem for you guys that are listening to you. So, David usually records them when we play them on the show, but he's asked me to read it out again. So, hopefully, I can read this out to the best of my abilities. Here it goes.
Hanky's at the ready.
Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, established 1882. Is this just random spoken words, or does this mean much more to you? This is not just a football club, this is a way of life. It's about the glory, glory game and pulling together in times of strife. It's not just an emblem. It's not just about the years of hurt. It's about that famous cockerel. It's about that lily white shirt. My eyes have seen the glory and I want to be in that number. When the players enter the playing arena and the lane reverberates like thunder. Nicholson, Rowe, Ramsey, White, Jones, Jennings and Hoddle. Roberts, Hazard, Ginola and Gazza. Klinsmann, Bale and Waddle. Names of history and names that stood out. Names that as fans we all knew about. Come on you Spurs, the crowd it would shout. Some with skill and great flair, some could give you a clout. To dare is to do, how we dare to believe. History books rewritten, in a cup we achieve. And what would you say if we went all the way in the Europa League final 50 years to the day? That we first won the Europa in Europe in that Dutch city, Rotterdam. This year it's in Holland and it's in Amsterdam. And what do you want as a final comes near? Two players that could lead us and stifle the fear. Mickey Hazard with passing and movement so fine. Graham Roberts as your leader, strength and passion combined. So come on, you Tottenham, stand up and be strong. Bring that cup back to the lane where it doth rightly belong. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, established 1882. You don't choose Tottenham, Tottenham choose you. That's the Spurs port. Brilliant.
Wow. Do you know something? This guy, he has such a talent
yes.
for writing poems about Spurs. He wrote a poem about me.
Yes.
I've got to tell you, I spent the evening sobbing. It so touched my heart. He's got an unbelievable talent.
Yep.
And that poem there sums up everything. And I'm sure Rob will feel the same. Everything emotionally that Tottenham Hotspur means to us all. Unbelievable.
Definitely. Fantastic.
It is. It's superb.
He's actually such a nice bloke as well.
I've known Davey for a couple of years. Davey's from Northern Ireland as well. And he was over at the Arsenal game with me and we were there for a couple of days. But he's got such a passion for it and he's brilliant, as you say, what he does. So he's actually looking, hopefully, maybe one day publishing a book and getting things sorted out.
Well,
so,
tell him I'll be the first to buy it. Congratulations, Dan. That is amazing, son.
Davey's brilliant. I think he's a labourer or something, or builder or something like that, but I think he writes those while eating his cheese and pickle sandwiches at lunch.
Sorry, yeah, it's Davey. I'm saying Dan. It's someone else tweeted me today.
Yes, no, Dan helps out. Dan helps out with the Spurs 4 page as well.
Yeah, it's Davey. He's absolutely brilliant, by the way.
Brilliant. Right, we've been having a bit of a competition with I'm doing the marathon in a couple of weeks, so I've been asking fans of the show to contribute to my Virgin Money giving page, and they've contributed 5, 10, 20 quid, and they get to come on the show and ask them questions about their favourite player and what have you. So what I thought was, keep it really simple, to ask you guys the same thing. I mean, obviously, you've been asked many times about your favourite goals that you've ever scored and what have you. So if we just run through these quickly, if you don't mind. Graham, who is your favourite football player, would you say, of all time? Not necessarily the best player you ever scored, but who's your favourite?
Favourite player I played with, or?
No, just like, have you got a favourite, maybe, I don't know, when you were growing up, or so any particular nation?
Well, I used to like the Everton team when they played with Colin Harvey and people like that, Alan Ball, but being a favourite player, I would say I would say Ozzy would be one.
Yeah.
Because I love the way Ozzy played, and you know, I played with some great midfield players, Glenn, Ozzy and Mickey and Sue Ness. You know, I loved watching them play because they could pass a ball from anywhere they like. And I just think Ozzy, for me, you know, I never knew him before I came to Tottenham, but when you train with him and you play with him, he had everything, Ozzy.
Mickey?
Absolutely.
Yeah. My favourite all-time player is Johan Cruyff. I just thought he was pure genius. He was elegant, graceful, unbelievably skillful, scored goals for fun, a magical player. My favourite all-time Spurs player, I would have to say, would be a very close throw between Ozzy and Glenn. As Robbo rightly says, two fantastic footballers, but fantastic to play with, fantastic to learn from. Brilliant players. So Cruyff is my all-time favourite. My favourite Spurs, Odell and Ardiles.
What about your favourite goal?
My favourite goal was a goal I scored at Ivory against, I forget who it was against, but it was at Ivory against some team that play in red and white. I can't remember their name. But I picked the ball up from a pass from Ricky Villa on the halfway line. I beat three players as I danced through onto the edge of the box and rifled a left foot shot into the top corner from about 25 yards. It just never got televised because they had this Nike advert on their shirt and adverts weren't allowed to be televised in those days. So I never got to see it.
Mickey, that's lovely, but what about the favourite goal you ever saw?
The favourite goal I ever saw? Sorry, apologies, I thought you said I scored. The favourite goal I ever saw was probably...
Well, I've seen so many of Messi over the last couple of seasons, but Glenn Hoddle scored a goal at White Hart Lane against Manchester United where it was a quick free kick, flicked it round the corner with the outside of his right boot, swivelled. Ozzy actually passed it back at not the best height, and Glenn just jumped and volleyed it from the angle of the box into the far top corner. It was just absolutely out of this world.
Fantastic. Yeah. Graham?
Is it the one I've scored or the one I saw?
What's your favourite goal you've ever seen?
I would go along with Mickey, with Glenn's, but I think Glenn scored that many. He scored one against Liverpool at Anfield with the outside of his foot. Yeah, we lost 3-1. And he also scored one against Watford where that was a fantastic chip, but that was a fantastic goal. So I would say they'd be right up there.
And your favourite goal you scored? Got to be UEFA, right? Surely.
Well, that was the most important one. But I think I scored a goal against Everton. And we lost 2-1. I think it was 85, something like that. Round about that time. And I hit it in the top corner. And to beat Neville South, who was absolutely unbelievable that night. He sort of pulled off every save you've ever seen in your life. And I think that would be one of the best as well.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Colin, have you got any other things you want to say? I've just got one more thing to run through, but is there anything else you want to...
No, there's nothing else here on the Facebook or on Twitter. It's just those couple of questions and say we're all good.
Oh, fantastic. Right. Well, what I thought we'd do, I presume you watch Soccer AM, and they have these questions that they ask players, but particularly when you get two teammates together. And I thought I'd run through these if you wouldn't mind. Mickey and Graham, who is the best trainer at your time at Spurs?
Best trainer, or what you mean, coach, or best one of the players?
One of the players. Who was?
I think we were all lazy.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Gary Stevens was a very good trainer.
Yeah.
Gary Mabbutt was another one, I would say.
Yeah.
Who was the worst trainer?
Me
or Mickey?
Who was the most skillful?
Well, you got to go Glenn, I suppose. Mickey, Glenn, one of those two.
Chrissy Waddle?
Say Mickey and Glenn were better than him.
Cool. That's, and what about...
I would go Glenn.
How about who was the joker?
How many?
Wow, yeah, how many?
All of you.
They were the jokers. They were all
Peter
jokers.
Peter Taylor was very funny.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny, because he comes across quite serious.
The old team was, think we had that sort of character.
Fantastic.
And we'd all take the mickey out of each other.
So who was the butt of most jokes then, or is that again all of you?
All of us.
It was a lot of banter that passed throughout the team at one another. It was such good team spirit in those days that,
Terry Naylor was a joker.
Yeah. Terry Naylor was very good fun, very, very good fun, Terry.
Fantastic. I've met Ray Clements a couple of times, and he seems really, really lovely now. But I remember meeting him when I was a kid, and he seemed very, very intimidating, and a very serious guy. Was he good to be around?
He was a winner.
Yeah.
He was a winner who didn't suffer fools badly, but he was also quite high up on the dressing room banter.
Yeah.
But not that we had many comebacks against someone who'd won so many league championships.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And what a goalie as well. Who was the most intelligent?
I think.
Sorry, you're right.
Yeah, all right. And who was the least intelligent?
Tony Galvin, I would say. Tony Galvin.
Who was the least intelligent?
Ozzy had a degree. Tony Galvin had a degree. John Lacey had a degree. So we had quite a few intelligent people within the camp.
Okay. And then you had the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, all right. who had the worst dress sense?
Tony Galvin, one of them.
Yeah, for sure, not a doubt.
And who was the longest in the shower?
No doubt, me.
You was the shortest. I can tell you a story about Mickey in the showers. After the game,
Yeah.
Stevie Bremen, we used to go in and we'd sit on the bench and, you know, like if you won a game, you just relax, or if you lost, you just sit there and relax. Mickey was in, had a shower, and on his way to McDonald's.
Brilliant. Guys, it's just actually brought me on to a question. I'd done the stadium tour the day after the Arsenal game. I say I was there from Saturday till Monday. And obviously going round White Hart Lane. I'd done it years ago when I was a kid, but first time I'd done it and, you know, really got to experience it properly. And you know, the likes of the Bill Nick suite and things there, and seeing the UEFA Cup and the medals, and just going round. But just when you're talking about showers, in the changing rooms, in the away changing room, they still have the big bath.
Bath, yes.
Is that the way it was in the home dressing room? Because obviously the home dressing room I found very small. Was really quite surprised by it. Was there the big baths back in your days?
Yeah, there was, yeah. The dressing room was much bigger. I've seen the Spurs home dressing room now. Tiny in comparison to what it was. We had a big bath and it was great because all the boys used to get in there and feel so jealous of my length in the shower, I mean.
I think there's that famous picture in there with the UEFA Cup in the bath, I'm sure.
Yes, I think it is, actually.
I don't remember that one, but no, we had a big bath, and it was a chance for all the boys to get in and have a chat about the game and chat about what we did well or what we didn't do so well. And often it was a place where we could sit and sort of solve the problems that maybe had come up in the game.
Yeah.
It was just something that I found, obviously, when you do the tour, they take you into the away dressing room, first of all. And you know, they talk about, you know, obviously it's very basic. You know, they said, you know, all they have to stipulate is that you have a clock, there's hangers for their clothes, and there's working showers and working toilets. And then then you go into the home dressing room, and obviously it's sitting, it's all mahogany wood and iPod docks and whiteboards and screens. But I found it very small and the roof very low and felt sort of, you know, I could imagine if you were Adebayor in there, who's maybe 6'4", 6'5". You know, maybe feel, you know, quite claustrophobic. And I actually found the away dressing room a lot bigger and more spacious.
Colin, what they do is, when the lights need changing, they get Adebayor just to change all the lights now, see? It's a lot easier.
I know what you mean. But no, it was just mad being there. But it was great, guys, to go round it. And obviously, you guys know it very well. And just the history and seeing, I noticed that, in the cabinet, Steve Archibald had donated his UEFA Cup final jersey and his 1982 FA Cup jersey as well there. And, you know, just seeing all the guys that, you know, and the things that you guys would have been involved in, it was fantastic and absolutely loved it. And it's such a pleasure to chat to you guys. I know Steve feels the same as well.
Yeah, fellas, let's have one last question then. How are we going to finish up this season? Graham?
I think we will finish third in the league. And I think we will win the Europa Cup.
Oh, fantastic. What about you, Mickey?
I think we'll win the Europa League, and it will be third or fourth. I think there'll be a right battle between the three London clubs, but I think that we are the best team of the three, and I think we are capable of finishing third, but the Europa League might take its toll on us with the extra games and the build-up of games. But, I agree, it'll be third or fourth in the Europa League.
I think we
can
almost...
I just say, Mick?
Yeah, go on.
Just with that, right, it's only, what, 3-4 games extra. You know, they've got 7 league games now, and hopefully 5 Europa games. That's 12 games. They got 3 months off after that.
Yeah.
Just give it all you got.
Yeah,
absolutely. You're talking to the converted rubber. I mean, I believe entirely that there's 12 games to go, and anything worth fighting for don't come easy, but it's worth fighting for. The Europa League and fourth or third, they're worth fighting for because of what it can mean to this football club and where it can take us. So let's go for it full throttle.
And I just think that we almost have to win the Europa Cup because of what happened last year. The fact that we did finish fourth, we should be in the Champions League. And the fact if we win that Europa Cup, we can then turn around and say, see, we told you we were good enough to be in the Champions League. You stuck us in the Europa Cup. We've won it. You know, you know, and we finished third or fourth in our own Premier League as well. So,
also,
know, what a brilliant season that would be.
Also, we can shut that Adrian Durham up. And all.
Yes, I want, Graham, I want you to have a word as it was. Alan Burstell about
him. QPR shut Adrian up.
Sorry, Colin.
Graham, I want you to have a word with Alan Burstell about him.
I had an argument with him the other week, and
just, I know I heard that, Graham. Yeah. And the trouble is, he doesn't listen to a word you say, but he's definitely on a mission just to wind up Spurs fans, getting them caught.
No doubt about it. And yeah. You know, at the end of it, he's never kicked a ball in his life, so I just just a waste of time.
Yeah. All right, guys. Look, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on. And I mean, the Spurs fans listening, it's been an absolute joy. So it's been brilliant. Colin, any more to say to the guys?
Yeah, guys, just the same as Steve. Look, thanks very much for doing it. It's a massive pull for us as the Hotspur podcast, you know, to get these guys on. And, you know, we're getting more and more listeners. And thankfully, with your help, you know, we want to get it out there and get people to hear us. And, you know, listen to yourselves. And if we can get this on again, boys, it would be absolutely brilliant.
You've got to come to the Bell and Hare as well sometime.
Yeah, I go in there quite often. I go in there quite often, Steve. So,
brilliant, mate.
So, oh, but come on, you Spurs. That's what we need. Come on.
Yeah, come on. I feel, as what you were saying, we're a different team this year than last year. And I'm really confident that, you know, we can definitely go on to, you know, to win the cup and definitely finish in the top four. No problem.
Can I just say, I just hope that ABB doesn't start changing the team again like we did in Inter Milan. Let's stick with the best players, like Mickey said earlier. Stick with them, go with what we've got, and let's win seven games and win five Europa games. And We went on a 12 game unbeaten run a little while ago. Let's pick it up again. We've gone on one, so we can beat it this time. We can go on 13.
Well,
brilliant.
Come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Coys.